Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Chelsea Echo. As you can hear, it is not the score today. It is me, Louis. I'm filling in for him. And you can see that I'm talking from the Chelsea Echo account. That is purely because Twitter, or X as they're known now, decided to lock me out of my account. So I can't actually do anything I need to on there. So you're going to be hearing me from the Chelsea Echo for this game and for the Manchester United game and probably throughout the week, because I'm going to have plenty to say, because that's what I do on Twitter. It is myself and it is Rambles who will be joining me momentarily. In fact, I'll bring in straight away now. Chelsea have been knocked out of the Carabao Cup, losing 2-0 to Newcastle away from home. A completely changed 11, headed up to Tyneside and didn't get the job done, but I think many thought we may have done after such a good run. A bit pretty lackluster performance, if we're honest. Not something expected. Two quick goals from Newcastle in the first half saw Chelsea tumble out of the competition and are now pretty much, you know, one less thing to worry about, I guess is the way to look at it in some cases. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Chelsea fielded, again, a completely changed 11. Philip Jorgensen in goal, being someone who maybe we will touch on later on in the show. I think maybe that goalkeeper debate is a conversation which myself and Rambles have had with the score over the past few weeks, and I'm sure we will continue to do so. But a completely changed side, as we said, meant that Chelsea didn't get the result they got at the weekend. But having said all that, Rambles, how about that game?
Yeah, disappointed, but if I'm being honest, not unexpected when I saw the starting lineup. I think we all know certain players who are playing tonight got no long-term future at the football club.
Anyone specific you want to talk about in that case? I mean, I've got an agenda to go through, but I feel we may as well go through it. Anyone there that really stuck out to you that
I think Disasi and Badiashile are on their last legs. I wouldn't be surprised if one goes in January. I think the other will go in the summer. Unfortunately, it just hasn't worked out for them at the football club. It started off well for Badiashile, but ever since his injury, he's just declined. And, you know, it doesn't look like he's returning to the early form he showed when he first came to the club. And Disasi, I feel a bit sorry for him because, you know, he isn't a right back, but even when he's centre back, he's not really at the required standard to take us to where we want to get to. So I think those are the two I look at and say, yeah, your days are numbered.
Do you think, realistically, obviously Chelsea has been linked with Ruben Dias? I mean, it's pretty unlikely signing in January, given that City are going to be in multiple competitions. I'm not sure what their score was tonight. Let me double check that quickly before we carry on, because there were, what was here on commentary, a few surprise scores in the Carabao Cup tonight. So I can find that for you now. We've got full time in every game apart from the Manchester City game, which sees them currently 2-1 behind Tottenham, but Arsenal beat Preston 3-0. Manchester United beat Leicester 5-2 after Erik ten Hag has been sacked, and we're now looking at the maybe Ruud van Nistelrooy's era for a brief period before what seems to be Ruben Amorim takes the helm at Manchester United. Crystal Palace got a surprise win at Aston Villa, winning 2-1 away from home, seeming to continue their good form and getting better despite the fact they started the Premier League season very slowly. And a bit of a ding-dong down in Brighton, 2-3, it says here. Liverpool winning that in the last... I tell you what, it wasn't the last innings. They were 3-0 up and they nearly bottled it. Adingra and Tariq Lamptey scoring the 81st and the 90th minute to potentially maybe could have seen Brighton not Liverpool out. So a couple of surprise results there. And obviously we'll keep you up to date with the Tottenham Man City game. But yeah, as we're saying, you know, we're talking about the centre-backs at Chelsea right now. So if you want to come up and talk about that before we go into any other subjects, obviously we want to hear your thoughts on the game. It's massively important. You know, that's what this show is for. It is the final score. This is the show where you do call in, you do request, and we want to hear everything you have to say. More importantly, though, please remember it is respectful. This is not something where you're going to F and blind like someone who's hosting the show used to do. Come on, guys. Let's grow up now, yeah? But, I mean, look, Rambles, you talked about Disasi, you talked about Badiashile. I mean, is this a sign that, you know, maybe the policy of the sporting directors, obviously they seem to have adjusted it now, but do you think this is just, if you look at that side, two examples of players that were poor signings that are pretty much probably going to be deadwood and out the door as quickly as possible or need to be so that Chelsea can continue to progress under Enzo Maresca?
I think at the time, Badiashile was seen as a good signing. I mean, I think he was recommended. Also, I think he had glowing recommendations of a club by Fabregas, because obviously they were together at Monaco. And I'm sure I read when we signed him, he was seen as one of the top young left centre backs in the world, with Cole Willand, Gvardiol, who's now gone to Manchester City. But things started really well for him under Potter. He was actually pretty decent that first half of the season. But then he's had a few injuries and he's just never really recovered. I don't know whether it's just confidence, whether maybe he was, when he joined, he was just playing above his normal level. But whatever's happened, he's just never got back to that early form. And I don't see him getting back to that anytime soon. Not at Chelsea anyway.
And Axel Di Zassi, I mean, I completely agree with what you're saying about Benoit Badiashile. I think when he came in, that back three system that he was being employed in, you know, he was a breath of fresh air and was a very difficult time at Chelsea. He seemed to add a little bit of steel to that defence, but like you said, that injury has completely capsized his entire Chelsea career by the looks of things. Axel Di Zassi, you mentioned that he was playing right back. You know, when he does, he looks uncomfortable. It's not the player which I think a lot of people expect to see. You know, we brought in the Monaco captain who we thought maybe might step up and really make a difference. He was identified, obviously, as a leader, as a presence. Some were saying, you know, he could be, you know, the heir to Antonio Rudiger after a few games. That wasn't me, by the way. But aside from that, I mean, is he just someone who it made no sense signing? Do you think that was more a political signing for Chelsea? You know, appeasing maybe, you know, Lawrence Stewart and his Monaco links and sort of going, look, let's bring this guy in. I know what he's capable of. And he just maybe not fit. Or is it just a case of, you know, this sign that we thought might have worked and, you know, Chelsea just need to get rid as quickly as possible?
I think one of those things, I think at the time, obviously, Fofana had not long got injured. And I think, did Chalobah have an injury setback? And I think they just needed a defender. And obviously, Lawrence Stewart knew it from his time at Monaco. And he had captain Monaco. And I guess they thought they can get him fairly cheaply. He's captain Monaco. He's of a decent age. He can possibly come in and do a job. And the thing is, I like this ass. He's got a really good attitude and he's got something about him which the fans like, but he's just not consistent enough. I think he doesn't really suit the system, the style of play we want to play. And I think he's probably suited to maybe a slower pace of league.
Do you think that then Chelsea are going to get rid of him in January? Do you think that's going to be the player that's going to be out the door first? Or do you think that realistically, with that being said, you know, we've talked about Chelsea's maybe fragility at the back a lot this season. You know, we talk about Levi Colwell and Fofana being maybe a growing pairing, but then behind them, Badiashile and Di Zassi have just constantly left people with alarm bells. Do you think that realistically that's something that we really need to consider now, and that Chelsea in January, should one of these two go or both, that centre-back is going to be the main place to strengthen?
I did see an article, I think it was in The Star, so, you know, it's maybe not very reliable, but I think Benoit Badiashile's considering his options and a January exit looks like it could happen. I think it was Simon Phillips said, we're looking at a few centre-backs. One of them is obviously Ruben Dias, but that's seen as highly unlikely, and I doubt he'd be allowed to move mid-season. Then the other two are Antonio Silva from Benfica and Thomas Araujo, also from Benfica. So we're obviously very interested in three Portuguese guys.
Portugal, I mean, it's a bit of a hotbed for centre-backs. Chelsea picked up a few in their time, haven't they? And it's fair to say that there's been some pretty good ones come out of there over the past 20 years. Pepe, Ricardo Carvalho being two big ones, one of which was obviously part of Chelsea's amazing defence and a record which will never be broken. But having said all that, let's, as much as we talked about the centre-backs, we should probably give you some of the numbers behind the game. So Chelsea dominated the ball, 65% possession to Newcastle's 34, 17 shots on target to 8. By the way, as I say these numbers, I'm saying the Chelsea number first, just in case anyone gets confused, because I know it's away from home. Chelsea's 4 shots on target, though, from that 17, which isn't great, to Newcastle's 2, which went to the back of the net. So that's one of those nights, unfortunately, I think, guys. Where Newcastle had pretty much did exactly what they needed to do. But, you know, we had 9 shots blocked, which is not bad. Double Newcastle's touches in the box, pretty much. Chelsea having 13, Newcastle having 18. four saves forced from Nick Pope in comparison to Jorgensen's one. Six error duels, one for Chelsea in comparison to Newcastle's three, and 14 fouls for Chelsea in favour of Newcastle's 12, nine corners to one. So, you know, not for want of trying, it seemed that Chelsea did have the lion's share of the ball and the lion's share of chances given the numbers that we're reading right now. But having said that, stats aren't everything, which is very much a case of what we like to reinforce here at the Chelsea Echo. Colours a picture. I tell you what, Michelangelo didn't make the Sistine Chapel. Was it Michelangelo made the Sistine Chapel? It was Michelangelo made the Sistine Chapel. I was about to make a really, really smart, intelligent guess there, and it could have gone very, very wrong. But anyway, I digress. Michelangelo did not build the Sistine Chapel without crafting a beautiful idea first. You know, you get the idea, then when he got the paint and all the numbers and all that sort of stuff. But more importantly, he got the beautiful idea. And Chelsea, obviously today, were looking to carve out and carve through the Newcastle fence with this beautiful idea of the tippy-tappy football, I guess is how we put it, is that how we're going to be playing. Rambles, I mean, there were moments during Enzo Maresca's Leicester reign, especially in the second half of the season, where fans were a bit nervous about the fact that his lack of plan B maybe could have cost them the title in the championship after basically cruising at Christmas. And look, this isn't panic stations at all. This is just a question I want to raise. Is it a case of where Chelsea were so far behind yesterday, or you're so far behind today, sorry, that, you know, only one substitution was made, Noni Madueke coming onto the pitch. Do you think that that's a slight worry? Do you think Chelsea were chasing the game and they were 2-0 down?
I think we probably haven't got the full squad he wants to play the style of football he wants. Because I think, you know, we've obviously had a few different managers in recent years and different players coming under different managers. And, you know, certain players playing tonight, like we've discussed this, Asi and Badiashile, they don't suit how the manager wants to play. Then I think we've got other players who are under pressure, like Enzo Fernandez. You know, we haven't really seen the best of him in recent months. And I think as good as things are, there are obviously a few issues we need to sort out in the coming windows going into next season.
You say that, but if we're being brutally honest, I mean, look, Enzo Maresca has been brought in to obviously initiate a style of football, which all these signings have been geared towards. I mean, you look at the 11, I'd argue, you know, we've mentioned that maybe Badiashile and De Zassi are probably maybe the two odd ones out, but Badiashile was a sporting director signing, as was Axel De Zassi, but again, both weren't great. This is very much a team built to play Enzo Maresca's football. The bench itself as well, very, very strong. You know, Cole Palmer was sat on the bench, Chelsea 2-0 down. Probably would have been a great opportunity for him to come in and make a difference. I know, granted, that people probably don't want to risk him, but you know, this is the season, the Chelsea are yet to win a trophy in the Todd Boehly era. And you know, this was probably one of the better opportunities to do so. I mean, just going through the bench. Bergstrom, Bettinelli, Casadei, Ben Chilwell, Carney, Chukwuemeka, Mark Gooey, Noni Madueke, Cole Palmer, Levi Colwill. It's not a weak bench at all in the grand scheme of things. Yes, granted, it's maybe Chelsea's beating the vast majority, but no, two, three names there are players that could come on and really make a difference, and only one was brought on. I mean, is it not a worry for you that maybe he didn't make those changes and adjust accordingly? Or is it just very much a case of, look, it's one game, we think he can maybe learn from that and hopefully do better in the Conference League or in the FA Cup when it does come round?
I mean, in terms of the priorities, the Carabao Cup, I don't agree with this, by the way, but it's probably bottom of the priority list. But I love the way that over the years, Pep and Mourinho always targeted this competition, get the first competition win early, and that breeds confidence going to the final stretch of the season. And as you say, it's possibly the easiest cup to win, and success breeds success. You know, if you go and win a tournament early on, both players gain momentum going into the big games in the future. And we haven't won the Carabao Cup for, I think, over 10 years now.
Yes, 2015 was the last time we won it. So yeah, it's going to be coming up for 10 years next season, or this season. Blimey, yeah, it's 24-25 season, isn't it? So it's going to be this year. So this season, it'll be 10 years Chelsea last won the Carabao Cup. And we've reached the final of it. Oof, was it two or three times since? So we've not exactly had a great amount of joy in terms of the competition. But yeah, I agree with what you're saying. It very much is a case of you come into this competition to win it. Obviously, everything you're in it to win it would be pointless otherwise. But it, like I said, success breeds success. And look, this is the first season of Enzo Maresca. I'm annoyed we've lost the game, of course, but for the same token, I'm very much in the boat of, look, like, it's growing pains. You hope that we're going to continue to get better, but based on how we've been playing over the past, you know, a few weeks, you would have thought the tails might have been up a little bit more, but it just seemed a bit of a damp squib today, did it not?
Yeah. Also, you're hoping in these kind of games, when you play some of the squad / reserve players, we're hoping they're going to come in hungry to really make an impression and put pressure on those players in front of them. And sadly, that just wasn't really the case tonight.
Yeah, no, and I think that's something which Enzo Maresca has really been trying to bang the drum about, hasn't he? He wants those players to really come in and make a difference. But guys, I mean, look, this is the final score show, so we want you to call in. So make sure you request, because we're going to take some calls now. So whenever you guys are ready to come straight in.
I was going to ask your question on your opinion. Go on. So Enzo Fernandez, I mean, I know he singled out by a lot of fans because of the price tag, and I'm a big fan of him, but we're just not seeing anywhere close to what he's capable of. Does he not suit the English football, maybe? Is he not suited to the role he's being asked to play?
I very much am in that camp, yeah. I was having this conversation the other day with somebody where he feels almost like a Juan Sebastian Varon figure, I feel. You know, he strikes me as the sort of player who just, the physicality and the tempo are just a bit too much, but elsewhere he thrived. I think he'd do really well in Italy. I think he'd do really well in Spain. Arguably, I think obviously the one team he'd definitely fit into is City. But he wouldn't start. He'd be a player they bring on and sort of just allow to grow and potentially get better. But yeah, for me, Enzo Fernandez is not somebody who I look at who, I feel can bring Chelsea up a level. I really don't. I don't see it at the minute. You know, we're talking about a player here who obviously it's not his fault that there was such a large amount of money invested into him, but. You know, this was a player that was brought in to be the star boy, to be the figurehead, to be what people look to when they thought of Chelsea Football Club. And right now, he's really not going to get into the team. I don't see it. There's a lot to be done. I mean, a lot of people talk about the fact he's had a hernia, that there's a lot going on in terms of, you know, him settling into England. Obviously, he had the absolutely mental thing that happened over the summer with the Argentina squad, which probably definitely didn't, well, it definitely didn't help him. I mean, look, like, he's got a massive long contract, so time will only tell. But I'm not convinced that Enzo Fernandez is right for English football. I'm really struggling to see the quality now. Cause we saw it when he first came, but now I think it's just fading away in comparison to a lot of his counterparts that are playing in that team.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's clear now. I think Lavia and Caicedo are going to be the first choice moving forward. And I think one of the guys on loan, Andre Santos, he's having a brilliant season with Strasbourg. And I can see him coming in and he looks like he's got the physicality in the game to suit the Premier League probably better than Enzo.
I agree. And I tell you what, we'll talk about him later because that is definitely on my talking points about the central infield spot. So I do want to talk to you about that more. We've got our first caller, Stevie, who was at the game today. So just bringing him in up now to have a conversation with us about the fixture. So we've got that. Obviously, guys, whilst we're waiting for Stevie, please do make sure that, you know, if you are wanting to get involved with talking about tonight's game, request. come have a chat with us. We want to hear what you have to say, think about the football. And obviously, any talking points that we've spoken about so far, please do make sure that you come and get involved with that as well. So he should be coming up in a moment. I've invited him up. Where is he? He has disappeared again. Hang on, let's try again. Give it one more go. I love, don't you just love technology, mate? It's fantastic, isn't it?
It always goes wrong, technology, always.
Always goes wrong, but I've accepted him twice now. Hopefully he'll come up and get involved. I'll keep inviting whilst we wait. Stevie, you there? Unmute yourself, please. Come on.
Turn the mic on, Stevie.
Turn the mic on, son. You need to press.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Yeah,
so live on the floor. Sorry, I was doing like the old mute yourself off. But quick recap, I heard Enzo Fernandez being bought. Where are we at? What's the quick recap point?
I'm feeling he's very Juan Sebastian Veroni. Very excellent elsewhere, but England, I just don't think he's tagged.
Yeah, so, and is there anything else to bring up on that front? Are we...
Anything you want to say about Enzo Fernandez, how do you feel about that?
So you know what, Enzo Fernandez, I'm kind of in agreement with you guys, but on the other side, with Lavi and Casado are some of the best holding midfielders I've seen together as like blocking stuff off. And Lavia's ability, I think with Casado, to put a 40-yard ball through is brilliant. But I think we saw early doors last week. We saw that inability to get the ball to Palmer, which I guess the only benefit we get is if we can get a ball to Palmer earlier, Palmer can do his thing. But it's a two-way street, isn't it? Sorry, a bit of traffic in Newcastle Central. A few worldies kicking around stopping traffic, but we'll all excuse that. But I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I'm like, Lavi and Casado looks so solid. Casado can get a ball a little bit earlier, which we want. So it's the case of opening to the floor. Like, are you pro Lavi or pro Enzo? I guess on the other side of things, it's like where are we at? It's like a bit more defensive value or an earlier ball to our front four.
I get that, but then I do feel that Moises Caicedo has been doing that, and he's been it's just getting the ball to Palmer or getting the ball out wide to Madueke. He collects the ball, he makes the pass. That's what the defensive midfielders are doing. And to be honest, in terms of carving the ball open from deeper, you saw Cole Palmer in that pocket in the Newcastle game at the weekend, probably one of the best passes I think any of us will have seen for a player in a Chelsea shirt. It's very much, I guess he'd hope that Enzo Fernandez could maybe settle in and be a player who could unlock game. But, you know, he had his opportunity to do that tonight. We're playing against a low block, a team which, you know, realistically, you want to really push through up and up against them. How did it look from where you were sat watching the game tonight?
From where I sat, as a team, we were completely behind it. But then I guess when Newcastle scored two quite early goals, and we got to remember we are playing our cup team, in inverted commas, I'm doing my fingers. There's not much, like, we've got to think, what are we going for this season? And tonight was underwhelming. It was nice to be away with the Chelsea fans and obviously have a beer with the boys and all sorts. But you got like, and the Carabao Cup is not our number one to win. I disagree with me wrong, but I think we're top four and win the conference. If we do anything other than that, and we put our eggs in other baskets like tonight, like if we put on. Everyone at half time was like, bring Cole Palmer on. I'm like, kind of, what is the point at this moment in time? And so on and so forth. So I think that's what that, like.
You're saying that about not bringing Cole Palmer on. I mean, do you not feel that the Carabao Cup, we were talking before you came.
So the argument, yeah, the argument I think at half time was definitely. Oh, sorry. Far away. Yeah, I think definitely where we were at, well,
Steve's having a chat or something.
Sorry, if any audio quality is a factor.
Oh,
hello, hello. If any audio quality is, just let me know.
Yeah, not very much.
Sorry, man. Yeah, just walking down towards the station. But I think at the end of the day, like, Fernandes was not good tonight, especially against... But we've got to remember, Newcastle played a semi-Premier League side we played on the weekend. We did a heavily rotated as if it was Panathinaikos again, which is a great ability to do, but whether... Yeah, I think it is that possible of, like, oh, we want to win tonight and then play heavily rotated, well, not heavily rotated, but heavily tired tonight the weekend. And this isn't going against the point that Fernandes maybe is not good enough at this moment in time for the Premier League. And I completely agree with your statement, because when we see Lavia and what he can do, and the ball to say that because we're 40 metres in behind, I'm in that kind of, like, middle ground with you guys, so... I'm kind of opening up the floor on this one.
Go on, Rambles.
Yeah, it's such a difficult one, Benzo, because obviously... I think he does get more scrutiny, because obviously we paid over 100 million plus for him, and that's not his fault, but he's just... I just can't see him working out in this team, unfortunately. And as we discussed, Labby has come in and he's, even though he's been out for a year, he's just come in first game against Man City. It looked like he hadn't even been out. He was probably our best player that game. And he's carried on that good form every game.
Completely agree. Can we do what we did, say, in the Conte season when we had a man like Cesc Fabregas on the outskirts? And we all know Fabregas wasn't past it under the Conte season. But then when he came in for certain, like, playing it game by game, like, we kind of played like a 3-5-1-2 almost, where Fabregas come in that kind of niche role and allow kind of Costa and Hazard to play. Can we do something similar with Fernandes? Is one. Like, I'm not saying play Fernandes week in, week out. If you start Casado and Lavia week in, week out, we're going to have that solidarity. But right, if there's a game like, let's say we got Newcastle in May, we're not playing, like, it's not like tonight where, like, we're playing in the cup, we're playing with a heavily rotated side, and anyway, we can't expect that for less tonight. But let's say we go down the 10th of May with the same squad, and we're going there for 3 points. Is there a position where we can have, like, Fernandes, Palmer having those, like, two, as I think we call it, that box for those two tens in midfield doing that role? That's kind of where, like, that's kind of like the, yeah, that's the question I'd kind of ask for it. And is it a case of, like, right, don't go wrong, under Mourinho, we were a 4-2-3-1. We had every man who just knew his role. You might get Pedro for Willian or an Andre Schürrle in there at some point along the lines. So that's kind of where I kind of see with it. And I think when we see his quality is phenomenal. But do we see it enough? And is it a case where we've got to take it game by game with him?
There is that. But then, like you said, he's got a massive price tag. Although it's not his fault, it's very much a case of you can't shoehorn him in. I feel very much the problem you've got with Enzo Fernandes now is almost a similar position to what Manchester United were with Paul Pogba. You know, you've got a player who had commanded a massive fee, obviously Pogba's case, world record, and they're desperately trying to find a way to get the best out of him to release Pogba, as it were. It was always a conversation whenever they signed somebody. You know, it's a case of I don't, he's bringing enough to the table right now to really push on and allow for him to take the mantle and even, you know, be a guaranteed starter at Chelsea. Like I said, you know, you've got two places really up for grabs in that midfield. One's already taken by Cole Palmer. So in terms of the players who are going to be playing in that double pivot, you got two, and one of those is going to be taken by Moises Caicedo. Probably aside from Marco Correa and Lavia, and Enzo Fernandez have got to battle it out. And currently, I feel like Lavi is actually doing the work to really prove that he should be taking that number one spot, purely because I feel like he's made himself more flourish, and we've got a player there who not only can break up play, but we've seen on a few occasions this season someone who's got an eye for a pass. You know, he keeps it simple, or he can ping it to the other side of the pitch. And you know, Enzo Fernandez, realistically, physically, I just don't think he's up to scratch. He was bullied today, and then you know when he tried to find those passes, it was an attempt at a Hollywood pass, and it just ended up just being an absolute mess.
I completely agree.
Rambles, you bought a Paul Pogba, you know, that's a great comparison, because obviously he was bought for, I think, 95 million, was it? And obviously when you're bought for that hefty price tag, you are going to get more scrutinised, and there are more expectations on you. And I just can't... He's definitely not going to be replacing Caicedo anytime soon. And Lavi has made the position his own, I feel. His recent performances, I don't think he can be dropped. So you're looking at a squad player at best, and I don't think that's going to be a position he's happy with. And I don't think the club are going to be happy with that. So sadly, I think the best thing for all parties is to maybe try and find the move for him.
I guess on the other...
That's a big step.
Oh, sorry, Bagels.
I
guess what we've got to look at is now we are a European team. We're playing the Conference League. We're playing 60-plus games a season. It's a four-man position almost now, isn't it? So whilst I don't think Enzo Fernandez, £100 million, should be the man similar to Juve Hall to come in and be like, right, we're in the cup this weekend, play a bit part role or be a starter against a League Cup opposition. But I do think we've also got to look at the holistic approach with our squad and be like, right, Fernandez is not the £100 million player he's bought for, but right, when we're in Panathinaikos away, it looks phenomenal. So it's like, and that's not me justifying £100 million on him. It's just like, it's one of those where we're back in that battle, similar to probably where City were. And it's like, right, we need to now know who's our squad. Like, Kovacic hasn't played for City, but then Rodri's out and he's now adapting. So it's like, yeah, where do we sit? Because I also agree, like, right, if we can get 50-60 million for Fernandes, it's not the end of the world. But when we've got a long season with a lot of Conference League games, and we need creative players to take that emphasis of Palmer, because like if Palmer plays this for 8 years, he's probably going to end up with ankle and Hazard, and no one wants that. So it's like, yeah, where do we go? Like on paper, the things are brilliant, but we have also kind of sold Conor Gallagher for the likes of Dewsbury Hall, who probably fill that role phenomenally. So it's like, yeah, I think it's just like, I don't really know where we go with that. We've kind of shot ourselves in the foot. And it's like, right, we sell Caicedo. What two players, I think he probably does the role of two players on his game, are we getting in to then fill in one as a substitute on a Premier League game, but also every cup game, who's going to do it wrong, every injury, like, because I completely agree with every point that's been raised. So I'm like, we can't have a £100 million super sub. Yeah, that was where I was at tonight. I was like, yeah, where are we at?
Well, I mean, look, it's going to be and get involved in the conversation. Guys, a goal. Please do make sure that you request and come and have a chat with us. But yeah, I mean, look, it's the Enzo Fernandez conversation is going to be something which I think we continue to discuss the entirety of this season. I'm sure it's going to be something that comes up in the final score show more than once. So obviously do make sure that you are following the Chelsea Echo if you aren't following us already. And make sure that you are getting involved in the conversations whenever we're talking and obviously requesting or leaving comments and such. And obviously after this show is live, finishes tonight, sorry, you will have a voice note review with myself, Dan and Tom giving you all the numbers you need to know. But we've got our next request coming up. Oh no, it's Stevie wanted to come back. Stevie, you still want to come back, mate? You're more than welcome. Come on in. Why not? Rambles. Is there anything you want to discuss whilst we're here? Anything that's really, really on your mind after that performance tonight?
Yeah, I wanted to discuss the striker situation. Obviously, we know Nicholas Jackson's clear first choice, and Nkunku filled in very well at times. But for me, I still think we need a different option up front. We need that kind of someone who's good in the air, like a more physical presence.
There's plenty of names out there, and there's plenty of people who could look at it. Who are you thinking that's on your mind right now? And by the way, whilst we're here, I see Rahman Osman in the listeners. Mate, let's get you up. We're talking strikers. We're talking Chelsea transfers. You've got to go to the journalist, the man himself,
right?
Knows everything about that.
So
if you
want to
come up with
him, please. Well, I've got two names in mind. Obviously, Benjamin Sesko, I rate him very highly. And, you know, I know he's very young, but I think he's got huge potential. And the other one is Gyökeres from Sporting. Uh-huh. I think I saw yesterday his release clause is 60 or 70 million euros.
Oh, his release clause is 100 million euros, but they're willing to accept 16, 17 million euros for him, in the summer. And January move is apparently increasingly unlikely. But I was actually ironically having a conversation about Victor Gyökeres, a couple of days ago with somebody, and talking about, you know, how, you know, what we think of him. And I was very much in the mindset with him of, you know, there's a player there which, you know, proven in England already. In that system. But I mean, look, do you not feel a little bit trigger happy in this case? You know, do you not feel that maybe what makes you so certain about the striker? Because we were... Sorry, Dave?
I think Jackson's earned the respect, at least given a season as a number one. Like, he's put out numbers that we've not seen probably since Diego Costa. Passion we've not seen since Diego Costa. And a love for the club, which I think is a big thing. We've had a lot of strikers through the doors. Not, don't want to name names to bring that trauma, but even the goal against Liverpool. Yeah, even the goal against Liverpool, like, right, we're down a goal. Jackson's going to get away and put in that pattern that we've not seen from many players, no matter what price tag, no matter what they've been promised. So I think Jackson's earned that right, at least for now, to be number one. And, you know, and Kimpu's come in, and he's done his job as a number two in the cup. He's not an out and out number nine. So I think we're in a bit of a stalemate, because I think, like, Jackson's putting numbers out of a Champions League level number nine currently.
You think Jackson's putting those?
I think the Premier League part. I don't know. I'm not talking 38 games, but I'm talking beginning of the season. Palmer and Jackson have put out numbers that we've seen from Lampard, Drogba, etc. Like. And I'm not saying this is a season long statistic, there's no proof of that. But I think, like, he fought last year and he missed a lot of chances. This year, he's shown to be a really good number nine. And I think if someone's putting in that performance, they at least deserve a chance for now. If Jackson tails off come the end of the season and he turns into Torres, Morata, etc., then it's a conversation. Gyökeres. But right now, I think it's more of a number two slash Nkunku question.
Well, look, realistically, if you look at the players available that obviously Rambles has mentioned, you know, Jokeres and Sesko aren't coming in to play second fiddle, are they? It is very all position for Chelsea. Like, Nick Jackson performing so well. And, you know, we players, in the game against, Newcastle at the weekend and throughout the season. Now, him and, you know, Cole Palmer have been really developing well together and have carved out a relationship. I'm intrigued, right? This is purely hypothetical. Christopher Nkunku was remarkably quiet tonight. We know there's quality there. Is there anyone out there who you look at and be like, oh, there's a capable number two there who could potentially come and compete for that spot? Or do you think...
Only Nathan Myers is a name we've all been thinking of for a little while. John Duran.
As a number two?
I don't think he probably comes at the price tag of a number one now. I don't think...
Exactly.
I remember the price tag. I don't think he's quite a number two. Yeah. In ability, yes. In price tag, yeah, we're in a bit of a situationship now with Jackson because he's obviously he's. I mean, Jackson's in the last season. Phenomenal. The numbers he's put out.
Oh dear! So basically, we've been texting for a little while. Things have been going well, but you're not sure where you stand. But you know. The sex is still good, so you're cracking on with it.
Exactly. Nicholas Jackson scoring goals. He's linking up well. He's linked up well with the team. He knows his role. So yeah, I do think, in terms of front line, I'm kind of like leave it to the end of the season. And I think if we were to sign somebody, it has to be back line. I think we showed tonight. Don't get me wrong. I think our back line. And our reserves in backline are where we're probably going to lack, like probably where both goals came tonight. Obviously, Levi Colwell's, we don't need to say much more about him. Fofana's had his moment. I got proved wrong about Tosin, and whether he's the Chelsea player is not really my point proven. And the two Frenchmen in the group chat, I've been quite shown a few times about where the two Frenchmen should be going, and that's a loan back to Monaco, trying to recoup as much money as possible. So I think that should be the primary focus. And then look, if Jackson falls on his face, he falls on his face. But right now, Jackson's up to the task.
Well, I couldn't agree more, to be fair. It's very much a case of, I do feel that, I think I was quite surprised when you said that, Rambles. I'm very honest. When you were saying that you feel that Chelsea maybe should be looking up front, I was thinking, really? Is that really where our biggest
weakness is? I'm a huge fan of Jackson, but I think he fully deserves to be number one striker. I've got no issues with him at all, but I would just like to see a more kind of physical presence, someone who's a bit more dominant in the air. I guess ideally I would love someone like a younger version of Giroud.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, my head.
I guess that's kind of where we're at as a club, because like Jackson is dropping in, doing the dirty work for the team, and he is a physical striker. So it's like, is it what we want from him? And is it a case of like, right, we ride Nkunku out till Nkunku goes, I've had enough of being number two, goes back to Germany or probably PSG for a nice figure, or in 3 years' time for Saudi for 75 million.
That's very, I mean, we're jumping around here, gents, like, fucking hell, but really, like, move to Saudi, moving to PSG, going wherever. I'm not sure that striker is our issue right now. I'm actually very happy with the options that we have. If not set up well as well.
My options of, Nkunku moving was when he's kind of been pushed out of the door and Jackson's given number one. So I'm talking kind of like 12 months down the line.
I thought about Nicholas Jackson.
No. I think Nicholas Jackson's on number one till at least the end of the season. He's earned the right and he's earned the respect on that. We've given Lukaku, Morata and Co a lot, a lot more chances than we've given Jackson. Jackson's delivered the most so far. And Havertz, I'd like to have. I was a Havertz fanboy.
You were a Havertz fanboy from what I remember. But yeah, it's very much a case of we'll have to see what happens with that. But I'll tell you what, we're going to move on now because things all Manchester United game. We have seen the team, you know, come and maybe, well, I'm not going to say maybe, it's factually accurate. The post Ten Hag era very much has started with a bang with such a massive result against Leicester. And I mean, it was a huge result for them. 5-2. No messing about now that Eric Ten Hag's gone out the door. No excuses made for two games not existing because there was a red card. You know, insanity has left the building and it seems that we could be looking at a side in Manchester United, which are going to be very tricky customers. Chelsea, obviously not winning at Old Trafford since 2013. The infamous David Luiz grin, which got, I think it was Fabio. There's one of the twins got one of them sent off. Might have been Raphael. Either or, same thing, different day. But you know, it's going to be a very interesting case, I think, at Old Trafford. Rambles, where's your head at looking forward to the United game? Because I think very much for me, like this, this is water off a duck's back, really. I mean, it's a bit annoying that we didn't get the result, but at the end of the day, the better side won. But do you think if Chelsea go and get 3 points at Old Trafford at the weekend, we can worry less about Chelsea's situation right now?
Yeah, I think if we go to Old Trafford and win Sunday, tonight's game will be completely forgotten about. Because I think if you gave people the choice, I think a lot of people would have chosen 3 points at the weekend rather than winning tonight's game. Because obviously priority for us is to get back into the Champions League.
Oh, mate, agreed. I think we've got greedy. As a fan base, in the first few months, we're winning everything we put in front. And everyone we've lost to City and Liverpool, we put up like Premier League level performances against them. And I think we've got to now realise, like, right, we played on Sunday. We put our second string out tonight with a couple of exceptions, maybe. Not even. And I think we've got to realise, like, United tonight play a full-strength team, 1-5-2. I think we'd have done the same if we did that. And I think we've got to realise what we're in for. We're in for top four, Conference League, and if the FA Cup goes well, or the Carabao Cup went well, we take it. But we're not going to sacrifice our first team against Newcastle like we did the weekend.
No, I absolutely agree. I think it's very much a case of just focusing, going and getting the job done. And because I think it's the first team as well, there are going to be players within that squad which are very much in the case and the focus of, well, you know, after such a dire result, they're going to want to go and make a difference. And I do think, look, realistically, if Eric Ten Hag was still at the helm at Manchester United, I'd be very confident we'd go up and get 3 points. Very confident. Despite the fact that we had an absolutely diabolical result against them last season. But, you know, overall, it's very much a case of, you know, we've got to make sure that we're in the right place, we're in the right mindset. This is just one game. As much as it may be just one game, you know, it maybe was not the best result at all. And it did feel in sometimes where we didn't want to go for it, didn't want to win it. But look, at the end of the day, I'm almost not too fast.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat, but I feel like we had that weird, like obviously Mudrick had unbelievable form against Panathinaikos. And then tonight, we have like a second string team. And it's like almost like, oh, Mikhail Mudrick, Newcastle, fucking let go. And it's kind of like, we're kind of putting the pressure back on Mudrick in these games. And it's like, that all that man needs to do is play his football. Because we know he's got the ability. Whether that's in Chelsea long term is a completely other debate. But I feel like, yeah. Like tonight we went into the game thinking, okay, Mudrick's our start man. We literally had Dewsbury Hall on the right, who I don't think he's at fault for anything. He's not a right midfielder. And he's playing against a Premier League opposition who are top 6, top 7 right now. So yeah, I feel like I don't think we can look at Pinocchio too much. And even in the stand, I was just like, I'm just happy to be around all the Chelsea fans and just enjoy a night out with the boys.
Well, how was the atmosphere tonight? Was it obviously, I know the result didn't go the way. Was it still a good atmosphere, or did people feel a little bit?
Overall, it was good. At half time, there was murmurs, and there was the classic get Cole Palmer on. I'm like, why do we want Cole Palmer on? I'd rather lose tonight and have our first string team completely fresh. Even when Madueke was at half time, I was like, I understand the thing, but I'm like, surely get Sancho on, rest him, put him on the right. I was a bit here, there, and everywhere. But you know, overall, Chelsea fans had a great spirit, went to a pub with everyone. And it was like, you couldn't ask for less. And Chelsea's away support, as we all know, is phenomenal.
Well, that's what you want to hear, to be honest. But Stevie, thank you very much, mate. Just get yourself on mute for the time being if you want to hang about, just because obviously you are out and about and we want to obviously be able to hear everybody when they come up. Because guys, it is time just before we wrap up for a lightning round. So if you do want to come up, and I see John Carthy's in here, who's a frequent speaker, and I see there's a lot of you who listen regularly but haven't come up, please do request. You've got a minute. We want to hear your thoughts. We want to have a quick discussion about the game, and even looking forward to the Manchester United game and anything you feel that we may have missed, please do come up and get involved. We really appreciate all of you listening to the Chelsea Echo, and obviously we're looking to continue to get better over the next few years, and obviously the next few months especially. We've got a lot of stuff coming. But we've got CFC Rios who wants to come up now, so we will bring him up to speak. But while we do that, I'm just going to quickly, whilst we wait, get my phone out, because Rambles, do you want to inform everybody of the rules of the lightning round?
So you have 1 minute to get your points across and cram as much as you can into that minute.
Cool, fantastic. Right, well, we're good to go. Rios, make sure your mic's on before I start my timer. Let's double check that quickly. How are you doing, mate?
I'm fine, good evening. Can you hear me?
Wait. Good, we can hear you. Your time starts now.
Okay, I feel like the lineup Enzo Maresca put out was being complacent, because there was no reason why he should field that starting 11. And secondly, I think Gusto needs to drop back to Team B to provide balance in that defence line, because Sassi, it's not fit to be a right back. Cucurella has to go to Team A, James right back, Cucurella left back, then Gusto back to Team B to provide balance in that defence. Then it seems like Nkunku is not benching Jackson anytime soon, because there are some moments in the game today that Enzo with the ball, Vega with the ball, I was expecting him to make some runs in behind, but then again, you're always dropping deep. And Newcastle was so comfortable marking him out of the game. So I feel like there is a lot for the Team B to do to try and push for a starting team. And I hope that this is a rude awakening for the Chelsea team, for them to like, okay, know that there's no room for complacency and put up a great show at Old Trafford.
Bang. Bang on a minute. Look at that. Are you timing yourself at the same time? Fair play. Absolutely nailed the lightning round. Rambles, we ever had someone we haven't had to cut off?
We haven't. Everyone else has gone. Everyone else normally goes way over. Or some people go a bit under.
Well, I'll tell you what. Fair play, Rios. Mate, thank you very much for coming up. We definitely discussed kind of stuff. That's just round of applause worthy. I'm very impressed by that. Oh wow! Sorry, I get impressed by very simple things. I was at the shop earlier and I saw personally from one
class.
Go on, Stevie. You were chatting, mate. Go on. Anything you want to touch on from that?
No, mate? I was going to actually give round of applause, but I'm already kind of sat at the bar speaking to the phone, and I think I'm weird enough. So if I start scrapping around like fucking telly zombies, then they're going to think I'm an absolute spanner.
We appreciate you sticking around whilst you're at the bar, mate. If you want to go and have a drink, please do. Don't hang about on our account. It's completely up to you.
Don't worry, trains at 23:08, so I've got a while. I'm just here for it.
Well, I'll tell you what. Was there anything you noticed from that which you kind of want to touch on? So I've got one thing I do want to go on, but obviously, lads, you know, I'm just the host here. I want you guys, if there's anything you really found interesting, let's talk about that first.
I think, no, we can't take anything from it, because we played our B team. And it's like, we're playing a top, well, anything in the top 10 of the Premier League right now could challenge for any European spot. We're playing the top Premier League team in Newcastle, who played a similar side both the weekend, and we rotated our side completely. So it's like, you can't take much from it, just enjoy the occasion and hope you learn from it. That was my takeaway tonight, Colin.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Rambles, was there anything from what Rios was saying that you picked up on that you thought, oh, that's an interesting point?
Well, I was going to pick up on something else, which I've seen on Twitter while I was having a little glance.
Oh, yeah. Go on, elaborate for me.
I've seen a huge overreaction to tonight's game. You know, people are already throwing their toys at the pram. And I just think as a fan base, we just need to accept where we are. You know, there is always going to be bumps in the road. We don't have the complete squad yet. There are going to be players who will be moved on in the coming windows. But unfortunately, we are going to have games like tonight where we do have to bring in other players and things won't go the way we want them to go. But as a fan base, we just need to stay calm and we just need to be patient.
What is it that you've seen so far that's made you react that way? Because, you know, there are people throwing toys at the practice. What are people saying specifically, which is incredibly ludicrous and probably needs packing in pretty
I've heard people blaming Enzo, saying he's disrespected the competition, that they've criticised the team lineup, saying, you know, you can't be taking these games for granted. Now he's under pressure now. We need to win on Sunday.
Do you feel, I get it's a cup contest, do you feel that maybe in the latter stage of the game there is an argument that he maybe, again, I agree, I'm playing devil's advocate here because I think it's worth doing, I think it's important you have these conversations. Do you not feel that there is potentially room for a discussion that, you know, in the second half when he only subbed on Noni Madueke, that maybe there was a disrespect for the competition, maybe there was a case that he didn't take it seriously enough to really try and push Newcastle for a win?
See, I'm a little bit torn because I think given the situation he inherited with the injuries last season and the players returning after long periods out, I do think he's being extra cautious with certain players as to not overuse them. But Cole Palmer, I think, could have come on. He's the one player who could have come on. But I understand why he went with the team he did go with. I mean, had he played Reece James or Colwell and they'd picked up injuries, then the fans would have, those fans complaining would have been going even more harsh on Enzo. I can't believe he risked these players in this game. Now we're going to be out for X amount of games. So you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Agreed. I thought when we went 2-0 down, I don't want to take the pessimist here, but I think the game was done. We know how physical Newcastle are. I'm going to get in 2 goals in 25 minutes and we've not scored by half time. I think we all know it's on the wall, don't we?
Yeah, no, I think it's a very difficult situation. I agree. You know, it's not something we should be too worried about. I do think that there's a lot of overthinking going on. I'm just reading some of Enzo's quotes as well whilst we're here. You know, he's talking about with the game itself. We're talking about and questioning if he maybe disrespects the fixture, but realistically, he's talking about some really important things. You know, he said straight off the bat, I think that if we analyse the result, it didn't work for 20 minutes until their goal. We were in control of the game. In the last 10 minutes. What's the goal of 10 minutes? So, now, evidently, he's picking up small battles here and small. And I do agree with him to a certain extent, although I do feel that Chelsea really struggled with the press. We were very much struggling to get out because Newcastle's press, in fairness, was excellent and credit to them. I think that, you know, they did want it. And obviously this was, despite the fact there was 5 changes, I think there is an odd case for that, you know, they did have key players back. I think, you know, Anthony Gordon, who missed out on the weekend, came in, stepped up and made a massive difference to the fixture with how he performed for Newcastle in that game. So, you know, it's very much a case of, I'd like to think that you know, Chelsea will continue to grow, continue to do well. But I completely understand why, you know, people are also in the position they're in terms of what they're thinking about. But yeah, what anything else you guys? Oh, we got one person saying they want to come up and discuss in the messages. So if you guys can't get through, please do make sure that you, you drop us a message as well. Just got that here as well. Let me see if I can find you. Just make sure I can't seem to find you on here. So just make sure you drop us a request. Before we wrap up, Rambles, anything else you want to touch on?
Yeah, the last thing I want to touch on, the keeper situation.
Agreed.
Okay, go on. I'll let you two take the floor with this. So I'm going to stay quiet. Enlighten me.
I mean, obviously, Jorgensen does need a bit of time because, you know, he's only played a few games, but Sanchez is really... We simply cannot carry on with Sanchez as number one goalkeeper. And if Jorgensen doesn't step up soon, I think we potentially have to look at maybe making a change in January. I know it seems a bit ludicrous because we've got X amount of goalkeepers out on loan, but this could really damage our season because at the moment, Jorgensen, he obviously needs more time and it's unfair to write him off this soon, but he's not looking too hot and Sanchez is nowhere near good enough. And that could be a decisive factor in us potentially getting top four, not getting top four, winning a competition, not winning a competition. So I think it's an area we maybe need to look at addressing sooner rather than later.
Oh, we're in the same boat. It's kind of with Jackson where it's like, right, Sanchez had his moments and he's won us points, which we can't take away from him. Isn't it a case of like Sanchez is good enough this year for top four? Like next year we reevaluate. So maybe same with Jackson. Same with sorry about that.
Sorry.
You could not write it.
Sorry, my beer came in. Lost all this is a and this guy's on a podcast. What a fella.
Well, if you want me on there every week, if subscribers can pay, actually, even Newcastle Pints are about $6.50. $6.50, 23-minute period, I'll come on every week. Donate £6.50 every 23 minutes, I'll come on.
You can go on, mate. Not even we're getting paid for this at the minute, so wind your neck in. How about that? It'll be up to Rambles on the score. If Rambles is happy with tonight's performance, I'm pretty sure I'll be relaying that to the score about getting you up more frequently.
100%.
But yeah, I mean, look. Well, I think the goalkeeper situation we could wax and on lyrical about continuously. But before we do go, We had two, now down to one, so I don't know where he's gone. We had Rhys, not James, but then now we obviously have EJ, who wants to come up and have a little chat with us quickly. So this will be, unless you get your requests in the next dos minutos, this is going to be the last one for the evening, guys. So if you've got something you want to say, make sure that you request now and make sure you chill out and we can get involved. Right, EJ, you've got 1 minute. Right?
Okay.
Your minute starts in 3, 2, 1.
Well,
go.
Oh, well, first off, thanks for having me up here. I just wanted to say I watched the game and, you know, I felt like we played pretty slow and Enzo at, I don't know what we're going to do with that guy. I'd be interested to hear what you guys think about that. But before, you know, you guys reply to that, what else I wanted to say? Our back line, what happened to Badashile? Cause he was playing hospital balls all day. A lot of 50-50 balls. I expected these guys, if they're a whole new starting 11, they should have came out a lot faster. And a lot faster than that and been a little bit more aggressive on things. And I would be interested to see if we actually had a striker, a second striker, and then had Nkuku be the 10 instead of João Felix. And that's about it. But what do you guys think about the way we played? Because I just got here in the space. I don't know what you guys said earlier.
Well, we've touched on it briefly. I let you go slightly over because you're halfway through a sentence. I don't think it'd be fair for me to cut you off. Look, I mean, in terms of Enzo Fernandez, we very much feel that he has to do a lot more to really try and push for his place in the team and really try and make a difference to try and even get into the first team. And obviously, it's not his fault for the fee that was paid, but we've labelled it as Juan Sebastian Veroni. If you don't know who Juan Sebastian Veroni is, I suggest you read about him because it's interesting. A player who was absolutely spectacular in Italy, spectacular wherever he went, but England just wasn't for him. Diego Forlán's another great example of a player where that happens. Juan Cuadrado is another one, I guess, as well. But yeah, in terms of game itself, we very much, yeah, it's water for ducks back as long as we win on the weekend. But EJ, thank you very much for coming up, mate. Really appreciate you taking your time. And I tell you what, if you want to listen to more about what we have to say, mate, guys, make sure that you come and listen to the pod when it's available tomorrow, because it will be available 8 a.m. Actually, you know what? I'm being nice. Let's say 7 o'clock UK time tomorrow, a.m. GMT, not British summer time, because that is gone now. It's long gone and we're all miserable because of it. But it'll be available for you to listen to back from the beginning of the show and get involved and listen that way. And obviously, anything you think about it, just drop us a message on Twitter. You know where we are if you're listening here now. Make sure you give us a follow if you're new around here. And obviously, if you listen to the show back, you can at us and call us idiots and whatever you fancy, whatever is on your mind. We had two requests and I've just decided to go, nah, don't fancy it now. So I think we're going to wrap it up there. Gentlemen, I'm going to ask for your three-word review of tonight, please. Rambles, off you go.
Expected, disappointed, patience.
No panic needed.
Okay. No panic needed. I like that. I like that very much. Well, guys, if you are new around here, because I see there's a lot of people that have joined off the back of us talking about Enzo Fernandez and panicking about it. We've already got one Maresca out in the comments, which is great. That's funny to say the least. But if you are new around here, please do make sure you follow the Chelsea Echo. I would say follow my personal Twitter account, but unfortunately Elon Musk has decided to lock me out of it because I don't have two-factor authentication because I'm not paying for Twitter. And also on top of that as well, I don't have any backup code, so I'm in the hands of the bureaucracy of the ex customer service team at the moment. So if you want to head across to @Louis_Benaventi, you can. You're not going to hear from me over there for a few days, but I will be on the Chelsea account for the foreseeable whilst that is the case. Obviously, please do make sure you follow everybody who's come out to speak today. Rambles, regular co-host with The Score, him and myself will be back for the Manchester United game. I have no doubt that Steve is going to be joining us from another pub where it's going to be incredibly loud and someone's going to be shouting last orders by the time he's done. If you are also round here more often, please do make sure you follow Rahman Osman, who's obviously in the listeners, a fantastic football writer, a great journalist and a friend of the pod, somebody who absolutely lays the foundations. And I've seen how hard he works in the press room with my own eyes. Chelsea news as well, because the man is a genius.
Apart from that, Steve, anything you want to add? Keep unmuting yourself. Go on, mate. Just join us for last orders at about 7 p.m. next week. I'll be, you'll be getting a driving force to be driving back up the road because we're going to the Molyneux, for some reason, for Palace Wolves. So last orders of Stevie will be airing at about 7 p.m. Sunday night after the Chelsea end. I don't know why I agreed to this, Louis.
Are you going to make that a thing? You listen, it's down to you to make that a thing with Score. Make it Last Orders with Stevie part of the show. But guys, listen, if you're new around here, thank you very much for joining us for tonight's show. Unfortunately, Chelsea couldn't progress in the Carabao Cup, losing 2-0 to Newcastle United. But onwards and upwards as Chelsea get on the road again this weekend to face Manchester United at Old Trafford. Thank you very much for listening. Give us a cheeky 5-star review if you listen to us on a podcast platform. And we will see you for the next one. Up the Chelsea.